This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down with State Representative Barry Crago, who has had a couple of weeks to kind of digest what happened in the state legislative session this year. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for being on here and answering questions. I guess the first thing we would like to do is just kind of ask your opinion on just a general overview of the session this year. What were some good things, some bad things, some things that you weren't expecting, or what was your overall view of the session this year?
You know, Aaron, I mean, after how I think I've told a couple people, don't ask me the first week or two right after session because I'm still really tired, worn out, grouchy. My opinion probably isn't very well thought out at that point. But now that we're, you know, have had some time in between the end of session and now, and just had a chance to really think backwards and think about what we did, you know, I think for the most part, it was a good session. I think it did a decent job. You know, I think we had some failures, you know, property taxes, residential property taxes. I was hoping we would get, you know, maybe a little something more done with that than we did. And I would, you know, I would say that was probably one of my disappointments. But as far as, you know, some of the good things we did, we had a, you know, surplus of money, and you and I have talked about that on some of our calls, and we were able to put $1.4 billion into savings. I thought that was really good. We did spend some additional monies through the supplemental budget, but that was to do things like give our state employees raises that they hadn't had in years and, you know, make sure we have snowplow drivers. We can't find highway patrolmen because we don't pay them enough. And so it was to try to recruit people for those types of jobs that we're not paying those people enough. And I think if you look at what we pay them, you'd figure that out rather quickly. And the fact that we can't retain any of them or keep them also points to the fact that we're not paying them enough. And so I think the money we did spend went to some things like that. And so I was pleased with that. You know, we passed some bills that people asked for, you know, during the last election cycle, one being the crossover voting bill. And so that finally passed. That was House Bill 103. We also passed the Fairness in Women's Sports bill. This time it was called Student Eligibility in Interscholastic Sports. That was Senate File 133, but that was the transgender sports bill. I was a co-sponsor on that bill. And so I was happy to see that pass. You know, that was something that people asked about a lot during the last campaign. So I was tickled we were able to get that one across the finish line as well. There's a couple pro-life bills we worked on, and those both passed. It was House Bill 152 and Senate File 109. House Bill 152 sort of went in and revamped what we did last year with the trigger bill, and added some stuff to that. And then the chemical abortion bill was a new bill. It's, you know, that one has been brought several times, but was never able to get across the finish line. And that happened this time as well. So that was good. You know, it's not that we didn't do anything on property taxes. I just would have liked to have seen some more short-term relief. So really there's two lanes we have to go down when we start talking about property taxes. One is a long-term, more of a reform fix, which is going to require, and everybody agrees, it's going to require a constitutional amendment. And so we did pass a bill that's going to give the voters a chance to create a fourth class of property within the Constitution for residential property. And what that'll allow the legislature to do is pass laws that taxes those types of properties, i.e. your home, differently than other types and at different rates. So that should allow us to address that, you know, as we go forward. The also passed a short-term bill, which essentially revamped the refund program. Right now, the refund program, you can only get a refund on 50% of your property taxes, and you can only apply for that if you make less than 75% of the median income in your county. So what we did is we changed both those figures. So now you can get a 75% refund, and you can apply if you make less than $125,000 for the median income, which does create a lot of eligibility for a lot of folks in our county. I don't know the exact numbers on how many people are now eligible, but definitely your elderly, your retired, those folks are all going to qualify and can, you know, get a refund of up to 75% of their taxes through the state. And we fully funded that program, which is, I don't know if that's ever been done, but I know it hasn't been done since I've been there. We fully funded that program through the budget. And so that was another expenditure that was in the budget that I was glad we spent money on. So I would have preferred to have found some tax relief that, you know, applied to everybody, but we just couldn't get there. That wasn't something that the whole body apparently had an appetite for, at least not at this point. But with the constitutional amendment, we will be able to do that. And so that's something the voters are going to need to look at and look for next year on the ballot in 2024. So I'm happy we got that done. A couple other things that I thought were pretty important. We added to the local distributions. We gave additional monies to our cities and counties to do some infrastructure projects. Usually that's what they spend the money on. They don't have to, but that's typically what they spend that money on, is they get that money and spend it on projects. And although some of our small towns like KC use those local distributions to actually pay for their employees, because towns like KC don't have any other income source, and their tax, you know, they're limited to their 8 mils on their taxes, and that doesn't pay for a water and sewer guy or a maintenance guy, and so, or gal, I should say, and in their case, actually. And so that money is very important to those cities and towns, and so I was happy we were able to use a little bit of our extra money to send some to our small towns, especially. And then the last one that I was happy about, but also disappointed about all at the same time, was the suicide prevention hotline. We did create a permanent hotline. We did create a trust fund, but we just didn't put any money into it. And I was hoping we were going to fund that trust fund so that, you know, the suicide hotline would be able to operate off of the income or the revenue from that trust fund for the foreseeable future, and it's not an issue that we have to fight about going forward, because I'm afraid it is one we are going to have to fight about. It doesn't seem that there's a whole, you know, the whole body necessarily wants to work on suicide prevention as much as I do. And so that's something I'm hoping maybe we can address going forward and make sure that that's funded. I think that's a good place to spend our money. Wyoming's one of the top two states in the entire country for suicide rate. Our county is right up there as well, as far as all counties in the country. And so to me, it's something we've got to keep working on, and we got to keep pouring resources into as much as we need to work on that problem. And so overall, you know, those were the highlights. Low lights was probably, you know, be the fact that we didn't do as much on taxes as I would have liked to have. But that was sitting here today. That's, you know, those are the things I would talk to people about.
Next question. Do you feel that your constituents are more engaged, more connected to you, with you, on these issues? Do you feel that they're contacting you and they're more engaged in that? And if so, what seems to be their concerns that they're contacting you about?
Actually, I don't know. We're lucky to live where we live, Aaron, and I think people in Johnson and Sheridan County are always engaged. And so I'm not sure my constituency is any more or any less engaged. I think they're just some of the most engaged people in the entire state. Johnson County traditionally has the highest voter turnout of any place in the state of Wyoming. And so I don't know if we're any more or less. I would say about the same as we have been every year I've been in this job.
What are the concerns that you are hearing from people, other than obviously property taxes, but what other things are you hearing from your constituents?
You know, property taxes is a big one. That's the number one, obviously, thing that we were set out to try to fix this session. But, you know, pro-life legislation, a lot of people chime in on pro-life legislation. And then, you know, some of the convention estates, for example, I received tons of correspondence on the convention of states, the constitutional amendment, convention. And so that under Article 5 of the Constitution. So that was a big one this time around. You know, I did hear from people regarding suicide prevention, and people think that that's something we need to continue to work on. So crossover voting, that was a big one that people wanted to get done. The transgender sports bill, also heard from people on that. People wanted to get that done. But those are kind of the big ones. The big ticket items, really, are the ones that you hear from people the most about.
No big surprises there, then?
No, I don't think. I mean, the one I was surprised the most about was Convention of States and how many people actually reached out to me on that in support of it.
There was a recent poll that was asking people to grade the legislators and the job that they did in this year's session. And I wanted to get your reaction to that, because I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, 70% of those that responded gave the legislature this year a D or an F grade based on what they had or had not done. What's your reaction to that?
Well, so if we take out property taxes, because I think people rightly can criticize us about what we did there. But if we take that out, I think we did a lot of good things, and I don't think we did very many harmful things. In fact, I'm not sure we did any. I think the legislation we passed was pretty good. But if we look at it from a different angle, and that is sort of the process and the decorum in the state legislature right now, I'm not happy with how that looks, to be honest with you. I think, you know, we need to do a better job of working together. We need to do a better job of working for Wyoming on Wyoming issues. There's a lot of issues that are brought to the legislature scenes right now that are coming from outside of Wyoming. They're brought by lobby groups from outside Wyoming, and they really have nothing to do with Wyoming. And we spend a lot of time and money, right? The legislature doesn't operate for free. And so we spend a lot of time and money working on issues that don't apply to Wyoming. And they're brought by some group from outside Wyoming to see if they can get it done here first. And, you know, and then and a lot of times there are these social issues or they're real emotional issues that, again, don't apply to Wyoming. And I think it ends up creating a lot of animosity within the legislature itself. And I think that's bad for the state, bad for the legislature, bad for the process. And so on that ground, I would say I would be right along with the constituents saying, I don't think we did a very good job in that realm. We need to do better. We have to do better for our people.
That kind of leads into my next question, a couple of questions actually, but we'll start off with, there seems to be an opinion with how widespread, I'm not sure, but there seems to be an opinion that conservatives in the legislature are at least being accused of siding with Democrats or liberal thinking, I guess. And that's a terrible thing for some people. What would you say to that?
Well, when you go knock on people's doors and you ask him, do you want me to work with other people to find solutions for Wyoming? I would say 95% of the people say yes. And I don't think they care what their political ideology is. Is the answers or the solutions are good for Wyoming and good for our people in House District 40. And so I don't know, do I think it's bad to work with everybody, all 62 members, all 61 plus me in the chamber? No. I do not. You know, some of this is just gamesmanship, Aaron, and it's just trying to create a narrative. Again, this is national politics making its way into Wyoming, and there are certain element within the legislature that wants to create a division. I don't want to create a division. I want to work with everybody, and if that's wrong, so be it, but that's always going to be my approach, is to try to work with everybody for the benefit of Wyoming. Now, we're not always going to agree, but that doesn't, just because we don't agree doesn't mean we can't work together. There are, you know, there's always some middle ground. There's always ways to help each other, even if, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this before, even on bills that I don't necessarily agree with, I'm going to try to make them better. I mean, if I think they're going to pass, it might as well be the best version of that bill possible. And so that's what we should be striving for, is working together, not against each other. And, you know, again, This is national politics trying to make its way into Wyoming, and I think that's terrible for Wyoming. Wyoming has always been known as a place, it's just its own animal, and we've always had a very high level of decorum in the legislature. We've always been able to get along. We have always been the envy of every other state legislature in the country, and that's, you know, there's an element that's trying to change that, and I think that's bad. I think that's very bad for our people and very bad for our state.
All right, thank you. You mentioned that the legislature needs to continue to work together and to work together to make things better for everyone involved. Let's talk about Harriet Hageman. Only because there were some people, there were some stories, news stories that came out, that when she had come out in the media and said that she was really not happy with, I believe it was it the Senate President or the House Speaker that had put a bunch of bills in his desk drawer, and basically it was what they called a desk drawer veto. He wasn't even going to bring them out for debate, and she was unhappy with that. So that's the background. So what do you feel was the feeling in the legislature when she did that? Was it positive? Was it negative? Indifferent? What?
I think it was probably indifferent. You know, I guess I didn't talk to a whole lot of people about it, maybe one or two other legislators. You know, it was new, right? In the past, federal delegation has not done that. And if they, you know, I think in the past, if they had a problem with one of the leaders within the legislature, whether it be the speaker or the floor leader or the president or floor leader on the other end, you know, you just pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, what can we do about this? Can we work on this? Can you help me with this? And so I think that's, you know, if there was a response, it probably had to do with that. I think in the past, that's how it would have been handled. And so maybe it was a surprise to some people, but I will say she's a citizen of Wyoming. She can have an opinion. We elected her to have opinions. And so, you know, I think I'm relatively indifferent as well. But I think in the past, that's how it had been handled, was and probably, to be honest, would be more productive. Again, we need to work together, not against each other. And that's how I would like to see us move forward, working together. Even when we don't necessarily agree, we can still work together.
Last question on that. How do you see governing from the legislature moving forward? Some people are concerned that there might be an extreme right push in the legislature. Some people are thinking that, you know, they're going to get more Democrats, blah, 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 whatever. How do you see governing by the legislature in the future moving forward?
Aaron, I'm not sure I know. I mean, I don't know where we're going to go. There is obviously a very far right element to the legislature right now, and that, you know, and I'm not sure they want to work together with the rest of us, to be honest. And so that makes it difficult. All you have to do is read the newspapers, right? Pull up an online article, get on Facebook, and see its constant attacks and against their colleagues. And that, you know, that at the end of the day, we're all still people. And we all still have, you know, emotions, feelings. And if you attack somebody nonstop, it's hard for them to work with you, right? And so I don't know what that will look like going forward. Hopefully we can change that. Hopefully we can change how the legislature acts and start working together. I'm not sure we can, but if we can, it's not going to be beneficial for Wyoming, and we'll probably have a lot of stalemates down there and not be able to get a lot done that needs to get done.
Let's shift gears a little bit here, Barry. You got a few questions that are kind of specific to legislation down there. Just as a follow-up, let's talk about abortion.
Sure.
Number one, where do you feel, after the session, where do you feel that the legislature stands right now on that issue? And then I've got a couple of follow-ups after that.
Well, the legislature is extremely pro-life, and if anybody says different, they're not paying attention to the votes. I mean, all the pro-life bills pass very easily. You know, I think there was some discussion about the abortion bill, the 152, this year, because it just, a lot of us, especially some of the lawyers within the two bodies, just felt that, again, this was one of these bills that was written by out-of-state people, right? And so it didn't really fit within Wyoming's statutory and constitutional framework the way it was written. So we tried to fix it to make it constitutional. And so, you know, that doesn't mean you're not pro-life. It means you are pro-life because you want the bill that passes to be constitutional. There's no point in passing a bill that's not constitutional because all that's going to happen, it's going to end up in court and then possibly be found unconstitutional, and then we'll have no regulation on abortion in Wyoming, right? We won't have any pro-life legislation on the books. And so as far as the legislature, it's very pro-life. Just I would tell folks to go check out the voting on all of those bills.
And so explain, if you would, that I just wanted to make sure that is the reason that you voted the way you did on these bills is because of its constitutionality, correct?
That's right. So, for example, I'll give you, you know, a little bit of background. So, for example, on 152, I voted no in committee because the bill, it was at that point in time, was blatantly unconstitutional. There's no way it's going to pass constitutional muster the way it was written. It comes to the floor, and we tried to fix it on the floor, and we got rebuked every time we did. And so ultimately, I just put an amendment on it that said this law is only going to go into effect if the current law is found found unconstitutional because it's currently, you know, in a pending lawsuit. And so that passed out. The amendment passed. The bill passed out with, you know, relatively, you know, easily at that point. It goes down to the Senate, and the Senate said, well, essentially, we're not passing this bill the way it's written. So we're going to try to put all the fixes on that the House tried, and they were able to do so. They were able to put in a bunch of the fixes that we thought needed to be made. And for example, the bill is written, referred to the Constitution and specifically religious liberty. Well, you can't tie abortion to religious liberty or it's going to be found unconstitutional right off the bat. Whether we believe that or not, it's irrelevant. We can't put it in the law. And so they were able to take that out. They were able to take out some other statements and pieces of the legislation that were also blatantly unconstitutional and bring it back. And then the House passed it on. We passed it on concurrence relatively easily. So, you know, that's just an example on that. On the chemical abortion bill, when it came over the bill, all it did was outlaw four drugs from being used to do chemical abortions. And the way it was written, it was really narrow. And if any of those drugs, for example, wanted to change their name, they could, and then they would be legal again. And so what I did is I went to the sponsor and said, hey, what if we just outlaw the procedure rather than the drugs? And that way, no matter what drugs that is used to perform a chemical abortion, it's going to be illegal. And we did that. We put that amendment on in the House, and then that bill passed both chambers very easily as well. And so, you know, just because you try to fix a bill does not mean you're not pro-life. I would argue the opposite, that if you're working really hard to make these bills better, then you want them to succeed.
What do you see in the legislature as far as the abortion issue moving forward? Are we going to see more bills coming down the pike, or are you expecting that, or no?
Aaron, I don't know. I would have told you last year that I didn't know we could do something different because we passed pretty much a complete ban last year. So I don't know. I don't know what we'll see. But if these bills hold up, then I can't imagine what else there would be to do. But again, I said that last year, so I don't know. You know, if there's little tweaks here or there that we need to make, there's people smarter than me that probably know that.
Another issue is microchipping, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And my understanding is there was a bill that failed that was going to protect workers in the state from being microchipped by their employers. I hope I have that correct. And my understanding is that it's already in the Constitution that employers are allowed to do this, and that's why this bill came up. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Explain this to me, because if you would, please, because the microchipping thing, I know the bill failed. So can you give me an overview of that and what why it failed, I guess?
So this is one of these bills that comes to Wyoming, and it's not a Wyoming issue. And we're spending countless days, hours, dollars on an issue that's not in Wyoming, nor is it anywhere in the United States. There is not one recorded incident of an employer requiring their employees to get microchipped. There's a foreign country, I can't know if it's the Netherlands, somewhere in the Netherlands maybe, that maybe it's Sweden, I can't remember, that you can do it, but it's not a requirement. So there are people somewhere in Europe that some country where you can have a microchip implanted in your hand and it serves as a credit card or something like that. That was the evidence we heard. And I think this bill came up the last day of session, or, you know, close to the last day of session, maybe the last day for final passage on third reading. I think there's a general consensus in the legislature that we're tired of dealing with these issues that are not Wyoming issues. They're not Wyoming problems, and this isn't necessarily a Wyoming solution. The bill's written by somebody not from Wyoming. It's shipped in. And so that's why I voted against it. Not because I think people should be able to microchip their employees. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can do that. In fact, each person's entitled to make their own healthcare decisions. And so, under the Constitution, and I would say that qualifies for that. But I don't know of any particular provision in the Constitution that says you can or can't microchip your employee. I think, back in 1889 when they drafted the Constitution, I don't think they were worried about microchipping at that point, Aaron. But I did bring an amendment because I thought the bill was going to pass. It did not, but I thought it was going to pass. And I brought an amendment regarding what's called the ex post facto law that just says, hey, if there's already some sort of an agreement out there between employees and employers, even if we don't know about it, because what I said was if there is this contract, no one's stepping forward. No employer's going to come forward and say, hey, I already microchipped my employees and you can't interfere with my contract, which would be true. And so I actually brought an amendment that says, hey, if this happens to be the case and there is this already going on out there, we can't interfere with prior contracts. And that's already in the Constitution. So I just add an amendment that said, if that's the case, we can't interfere with those contracts. But I was assured by everybody, including the sponsors of the bill, that that's not the case, that it's not happening anywhere in the United States.
Okay, final question is, last night you had kind of a community forum with which group again, I'm sorry?
It was the Republican Women's Freedom Alliance.
Is there anything from that, because I wasn't able to make it, was there anything from that get-together last night that you'd like to touch on or explain or...
No, I mean, I would just thank Laura DeMattis for putting on the town hall and giving me the opportunity to talk to people. You know, I think it was relatively helpful for me to talk to people, find out what they're interested in. Of course, again, the biggest issue is still property taxes, and that's what we spent most of the time talking about.
That's all I got for you, Barry. Did you want to say anything before we wrap things up?
No, just thank you again for, doing these interviews and giving me the opportunity to talk to everybody here at home. And it's good to be home. I will say that. It's great to be home, actually, and be with my family and friends and all of the people of House District 40. So hopefully we can do them again next year. And if anywhere in between you want to catch up, just let me know. That'd be great, Aaron. So right. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. And thank you for, giving us time to do these interviews, because it helps us, obviously, as well. So thank you very much. That's State Representative Barry Crago, and we are wrapping up this year's legislative session. Thanks again for joining us, Barry.
Thank you, Aaron.